Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to Life with Style. I'm your host, Guy Vaught, and on this episode, we sit down with my good friend, surfer, musician, and just all-around cool cat, Landon McNamara. The swell was pumping, we had to make it quick, but we got a lot in a short amount of time. We talked about family, Hawaii, surfing pipe, music, his new baby son, Chaz, and so much more. So sit back, relax, enjoy getting to know Landon McNamara. Hey guys, what's up? Just wanted to get this guy on the show. Finally got a couple minutes with him. The waves are starting to pump, so we're going to make this quick and sweet. Landon McNamara, welcome to the show, bro.
What's up, brother guy? Thanks for having me on.
Super stoked to finally have you on. We're going to talk a little music, a little surf, and we'll just start with surfing. What age were you when you first really grabbed the bug? I know you grew up in a surfing family, and you were born and raised here on the North Shore. What was that like?
Being born and raised out here on the North Shore, it comes naturally to do anything involved in the ocean, and coming from the family background that I have also, it was kind of a given that I was going to get into surfing. So around a pretty young age, me and my brothers were out in the ocean with my dad learning the ropes, and once we got into our early teens, we kind of started psyching on trying to see how far we could push it and what we could really do.
Speaking of family, really fast, you just became a dad. You got one of the cutest kids in the world. I know my family loves watching him on Instagram. I call him a little chubby tank. Your boy Chaz, how's it been being a dad?
It's a trip being a dad, but I love it, and it's just crazy having somebody that you love so much and worry about so much. Kind of puts everything into perspective and keeps my head on straight. So I'm not only worried about my own life now, I got a whole other life to worry about. And that's scary but exciting, and just learning how to navigate the waters of being a dad.
so awesome. I know, like, when we first met, we met through our good friends, Late Ones, who I was working with at the time. You and Tui ended up becoming really good friends. What was it like meeting the Late Ones?
Yeah, I met the Late Ones at a random party out on the North Shore years ago. I just seen three black bratas jamming. I was like, who are these guys? Because they're super talented, and I never met them before. And I just kind of fanned out on them, kept updated with their music and whatnot, and decided to hit them up. And we ended up cruising. First day we cruised, I think it was the first day we made a song together, just vibed right off the bat. And then they ended up taking me to my first recording session and really getting my music career started. So super stoked I met those guys. It pretty much started my professional music journey, whatever that means.
Yeah, they were always talking about you, man. They're like, Guy, you gotta meet Landon. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I know he surfs. I'm like, he's got songs. They're like, yeah, man, he's got songs. I'm like, okay. So they introduced me to you, and then that whole thing led into, you know, where you are doing your music today and stuff. But before we talk about more music, we're gonna get back to the surfing real fast, because I love both. I know we were kind of talking earlier before we got on air. You get to surf one of the best, heaviest waves in the world. You've grown up around pipe. You surf pipe all the time. You love it. What was that like the first time you ever surfed pipeline?
First time I ever surfed pipe, my dad took me out when I was just about 13 years old, early 13. Paddled me out to a pretty solid day, like 10 to 12 feet. Good second reef, paddled me right out the back. I just followed him like a little duck, basically, and he called me into my first wave out there. Ended up burning him. He straightened out. I got to pack my first barrel. Didn't make it, but got pretty pounded and came up all right, and kind of caught the bug ever since that. I realized that I love it.
I have to ask you, because your dad is a surf hero of mine. His generation really, really set the bar so, so high. Your dad is an animal, pipe master, just incredible surfer, super, super giving dude. There's so many generations out here on the North Shore. You guys, the Ho family, there's so many that, you know, second generation coming up. What's that like when your father's, you know, Liam McNamara, Michael Ho, Derek Ho, you know what I mean? It's like those guys all set huge, huge bars.
Yeah. Coming from my family with my uncle and my dad being pretty well known in the surfing world, kind of all came natural. I mean, everyone kind of looks up to their dad in a way, and that's how I looked up to him, was as the pipeline specialist that he was, and I saw what he was doing and just made me want to do what he's doing pretty much.
As a fan, I love to watch you surf. You always take off on the biggest, gnarliest waves, and sometimes I watch your video clips and I'm just like, holy shit, I'm like, this is just crazy. But what's it like from your perspective? Is that your strategy, just to kind of, whether it's pipe or Tahiti, wherever you're surfing, is it just to get that one the best way if you can?
Yeah, I'm not really about catching 100 waves. I just want to find that one good one that makes everything all worth it, because at the end of the day, no one else gonna remember how many waves you caught. You're gonna remember that one special one you got, and that's what I'm looking for every time it gets big. It's just sitting out the back and waiting for that one, and sometimes it doesn't come to you, but I'm willing to wait.
I gotta ask you too, because you were able to link up with Ruka. They seem to really be backing you heavy and really supporting your music, your surfing. What it's like been getting to work with that company?
Yeah, I was super stoked to be able to get linked up with Pat Tenori and Brother Brophy and everyone over at Ruka. They set me up with a lot of good opportunities, and I'm super grateful for everything they've done for me and for my brother and for my entire family. I mean, it's just good being able to have the support of a good, cool company, you know, because it's hard to get that, especially when you're a little hoodlum from the North Shore.
I got to talk about your older brother, who I admire his surfing just as well. We were kind of talking about it again earlier before we jumped on. He's got to be one of the most underrated surfers in the world. I love Makai's style. I love the way he surfs. Obviously, he's proved himself at pipe, and he can surf every single kind of condition. He does insane airs. What was it like growing up with Makai? Were you guys just pushing each other a lot when you guys were young?
Me and Makai went through a phase for sure when we were growing up for years. We would just fight every single day and just get crazy at each other. But now it's just all love. I just want to see him do good and succeed with whatever he does, especially in the surfing world, because, yeah, he's one of the most underrated surfers around. And I just want to see him get the recognition that he deserves.
I have to ask you really quick, too, because I've never really asked you this. When you were younger, what were your dreams? Was it to be a world champion surfer, do the contest thing, or was it just like, I just love to surf, I'm going to do the free surf thing? What was kind of the mindset when you were coming up the ladder?
I was always all over the place inside of my head. I want one thing, then want something else. But once I really got into surfing, my main goal has just been to surf in the eddy I call and get some of the wave of the winters out at pipe. And just catch some huge waves around the world. Maybe pioneer a new wave. I don't know. That's where my head's at with surfing and with music. I just want to be able to take it as far as I can and ride it out until the ride ends.
Well, let's get on the music thing, because obviously it's developed into something unbelievable. I was lucky enough to meet you, your dad. We kind of had a little team going. We get that first record going. I know me personally, I've never really told you this. I was scared shitless when that record came out, and it started jamming on the radio nonstop, and it was on iTunes, and I was like, holy shit. I'm like, we have a real record on our hands, and you did such an amazing job on that first record. What was that process like, and how rad was that to finally really make a solid, solid first record?
Yeah, it was a super trippy experience. building up the courage to be able to even record some songs. The first session I had in the studio, I couldn't even like sing or nothing. I was so nervous, but through just being surrounded by the right people that were bringing me up and sharing the same vision I shared, everything just kind of worked out naturally. And I didn't know what we had on our hands until it was out, and I still listen to my songs, and they're just my songs, you know. I don't really got a favorite one or anything like that. It's just different emotions at different times, but super stoked that I can relate with people and that people seem to like it.
I think people love it, man, because you bring them into your lives. You're not afraid to talk about crazy stuff, you know, surfing, drugs, partying, whatever, wherever you were at that moment, or just hardships in life. And you know, I think people think you guys are just spoiled out here on the North Shore, and they don't really understand, like, you know, it's a grind here too, you know, it's a grind all over the world. And you're so honest with your lyrics, man.
Yeah, just kind of try to live the philosophy, like, real, recognize real. So if you're real with people, they're gonna relate and appreciate it, because everyone got their shit, everyone's going through their stuff, and you don't really know that until you hear it. So I just want to be able to let everyone know our story, and that if you're going through some shit, everyone can relate, and everyone can help each other out in some way.
So that first record gets going, all of a sudden you're getting some good shows coming in out of nowhere, and you do a little touring on that first record, and then this year you came, or not this year because it's 2020, so last year you came out with the second record. That record is amazing. What was that second record like for you after you got that first one done?
I got so many songs inside of my head that I end up forgetting about a lot of them, and so it's just good when I can, it was good I was able to get in the studio and lay out all those songs, because I need to keep moving or bad stuff starts happening.
I got to tell a little story real fast. When I first met you, and you and I were talking about lyrics and songs, and you come to me and you're like, oh, I got like 100 songs written. And I'm like, you got 100 songs? And you're like, yeah. And I'm like, where are your lyrics at? Are they in a notebook or this or that? And you're like, no, man, it's all in my head. And can you even just talk about that, how you're able to store like all that info in that brain?
My theory on that is, if I don't remember the song, it wasn't worth remembering. So I'll come up with songs and be stoked on them at the time, and then time passes and I'll forget about it. And the ones that I don't forget about are the ones I know I want to let people hear.
It seems like now you got a little home studio, you're jamming a lot more, and do you end up just demoing stuff now instead of relying so much on your great memory?
Yeah, for sure. That's why I kind of got a setup at home now, is just so I can lay stuff down and get it all in the vault. So, because, I mean, writer's block is a real thing. Sometimes there's no inspiration around, and anytime I try to force a song out, it isn't what I like. So when the fire's burning, I want to get everything done, you know what I mean? Because who knows when the writer's block's gonna come or whatever. I'd rather just have a nice set of songs to sit back on so I can just be cruising.
No doubt about that. And you're able to get some real management now. You got a new management team that's been helping you out, doing an amazing job. You formed a really good bond with a great band, Common Kings. You had some amazing tours this last year. You've had some amazing shows, period, the last couple years. You're going out to One Love here in California in the next week or two. How stoked are you to be able to get like a real management team behind you, and what have they been able to bring to the table for you?
Yeah, having a good support system and people that share the same vision as you is super important. Definitely for me also, I need someone just to manage all of my thoughts because I got so much going on in my head. So super stoked I got to link up with Regime and Brada Tautua and his whole team. They've definitely given me a lot of good opportunities and are always there to figure shit out with me.
Well, let's talk about One Love real fast. It's going to be your third time at One Love, I believe, and it's just been getting bigger and bigger. I know that first year I was kind of tripping out. Like, you walked out on stage and had to be like 10,000 people plus, and I was like, oh shit, this is kind of nuts. Going up for the third time, how much do you like that festival?
One love. It's definitely a festival that has shown me the most continuous love over the years. It's the only festival I've played consecutively over and over for the last few years, so super grateful for that. And every time I go, it seems to be a good turnout of people that appreciate the music and just want to have a good time. So that's just what I love the most, is that I feed off the crowd. The crowd's gonna get what they give. I'm super sensitive to the energy, so I love just seeing people jamming. It makes me feel good.
I have to ask, because I got you on, you have a right-hand man, somebody I think is an amazing human being, your boy Mason. He's really grown just as a person, getting to meet him when he was super young. You guys are really like a 1-2 punch. He's so humble, but I just want to give him some love on the podcast. What's it like getting to work with him, do music with him, travel? Just tell people about your boy.
Yeah, Mason definitely is my boy and been around for a lot of the journey, but a guy you're going to be bummed to know, he actually quit the band a few weeks ago. So, I mean, I love him, and we definitely had a lot of good stuff together, but, I mean, this music world is kind of hard to deal with sometimes, especially when I don't got a lot of shows, because that's how musicians are going to be making their money. So he figured out something else that he wanted to pursue more.
I wasn't aware of that. All right, Mace, well, if you hear this podcast, we love you, dude, and we're always going to wish you the best, my friend, for sure. I'm sure I'll see you around and we'll catch up. And then, so what's the plans for 2020? Right now it seems like you got a new band, you guys are practicing, doing your thing. Do you want a tour this year in 2020?
Yeah, for sure. My mind state is I just love festivals the most. I mean, if I could just live off of doing a certain amount of festivals every year, that's how I'd be the most stoked. But I know you gotta grind it out and visit new places and do new things in order to grow. But my dream is just to be able to surf most of the winter and play music most of the summer. That's kind of my mindset.
You want the Jack Johnson schedule, because Jack kind of set that precedent with his music. Home during the winter and tour his ass spring, summer, and into early fall.
Yeah, he's definitely figured out how to do it right. So I'm definitely taking some notes from him and trying to make it work for me.
Really fast, has he been a big influence for you musically? I mean, you guys live pretty close to each other. You guys see each other around all the time. What's it like been having him in your backyard?
Yeah, I think just seeing such a big star as a regular person just surfing with you and riding his kids to school with his bike and just kind of bringing the normality to someone who in other people's eyes is such a huge star, you know what I mean? It kind of definitely gave me confidence to know I could possibly pursue the same things and take the same route as him.
I think you're well on your way, my friend. I definitely do. Keep doing what you're doing and stuff. I know you got some people you want to give some love to, so I always give people time to give quick shout outs to anybody that helped them up the ladder, or just say thank you to anybody they want to say thank you to.
Always mom, dad, my whole family, love you guys. Thank you guys for everything. My management team, my band, and all the brothers and friends.
All right, guys. Like I said, the waves are coming in. Landon's been cool enough to hang out on the show. Thank you so much, dude. I really appreciate it.
No worries about a guy anytime.
All right, guys. Well, there we go. So until next time, we'll talk to you soon.
You get this one?
All right, guys. Well, there it is. Episode number 42 in the books. Thank you, Landon, for coming on the podcast. So stoked to have you and get to spend some time with you. I know the waves were pumping, and you could have easily said, I'm not going to do it, and you were cool enough to do it and still get some surfing at the same time. So Thank you for being a great friend, man, and always just being a cool, cool cat. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You guys got to understand one thing with these guys that are pro surfers, pro athletes, people that don't have to work 9-to-5 jobs like a lot of us do. They have a very free and loose lifestyle. So when you can pin them down and they're willing to give you their time, you got to take what you can get. And Landon was cool enough to chop it up with me for 20 minutes. And I hope you guys got a real cool insight to his life, what it was like growing up in Hawaii, and so much more. With that being said, Landon, we wish you all the best in 2020, my man, with your music, your surfing, anything you decide to do. I know you're going to light the world on fire with it. So keep it going. Keep being a great dad. And the future is super, super bright, my friend. We got more episodes coming down the pipe for you guys. So stay tuned. Keep supporting the podcast. Been meeting with some mentors and other people, getting some good advice, some little tips here and there. And we're just going to keep doing the very best we can to keep this show as strong as possible with great interviews, insight, and getting the best people we can to jump on the show and keep it interesting for you guys. So thank you, as always, for supporting the podcast. It means a great, great deal. With that being said, take care of each other. Live your life the best you can. You only get one shot, so make it the best you possibly can. You never know when your appointment with God is going to come. And that's an appointment none of us miss. So live it, love it, love the people around you. Don't be afraid to tell them so. And just do the very best you can day in and day out. With that being said, thanks once again, and we'll talk to you soon.